I have been looking forward to this interview for so long. I really am excited about this interview today because I just actually met, not in person, but over video, our next guest, but I heard about him several years ago. And I've always been so intrigued by him and the amazing work that he does. And so I'm excited for myself because I get to ask some questions and learn from this incredible gentleman. But I'm also so excited for all of you that are going to get to watch this and learn from him. His name is Raymond Grace, and he is the president and founder of the Raymond Grace Foundation. His work is truly amazing, and we'll jump into it a little bit later. He does so many good things for people all over the planet. I think last count, and Raymond, you told me, but it's probably more than this. You've reached people in 142 different countries, which I didn't even know there was that many on the planet. So that is so amazing. He's written a couple books, The Future is Yours, Do Something About It, which I am reading right now, and I absolutely love it. And then he wrote a book about raising children, and his daughter April is a big subject of that book. And then 70 DVDs he's produced with the teachings of what he's learned over the past 48 years. His work is being used all over the world for self-improvement, but also a big passion of his is water, which most of the planet is covered with water. As human beings, we're mostly water. So Raymond, thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. I wasn't exaggerating. I really am so excited about this interview. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for the invitation. I really really appreciate that. And you go ahead and start off wherever you like, and I'll do my best to follow you.
Yeah, and I love it. You're so down to earth, and this is what I love so much about you. You're the real deal. I want to start with, because I told you just a minute or two ago, I was speaking to a corporate group yesterday, a corporation, and one of the things I did right at the very beginning of my talk was I put a picture of you up, and everybody can see you now in your nice hat, and they can't see you though with the full jeans and everything, but the way you dress. And I asked the group, I said, what profession do you think this gentleman's in? He's somebody that I'm just starting to get to know. I really admire him. And people said, you know, cowboy, rancher, which, you know, you do live on a big acreage, but you are a master energy worker. And how the heck, you live in Appalachia on a couple hundred acres, I'm sure not highly populated area where you live. And I know your brother's in the studio there with you too, but growing up, how did you come to this work? I'm so curious about that.
Well, I believe I can answer that. I remember one day I was sitting in algebra class and the teacher mentioned a fellow named Einstein, which I had heard the name, but knew absolutely nothing about. And he said, he used only a small portion, perhaps 25% of his, no, 10% of his brain, maybe. I forget exactly how it was quoted, but the studies had been done on his brain showed it used a very small part of it. And I'm thinking, I wonder what he could have done if he had used 25% of his brain. So I thought, I'll find out. So I set a goal that day to find out what could be done with the brain or with the mind. And it was slow going at first, and I would read everything that I could get my hands on about unusual happenings, things that were not explainable. And then, time goes on, I took a class called SILVA, S-I-L-V-A, SILVA Mind Control, and that helped me to realize that I could change things with my thoughts. I always thought I could, but I didn't really understand the procedure for it. So that gave me a background to start out doing this. Well, I was a construction worker at the time, and I learned a simple healing technique. I did not learn everything the class had to offer, but I got some things. So I learned a simple healing technique. I went in to work on the job on Monday morning. And the superintendent says, do you have anything for a headache? And I think, oh boy, I got a victim here to work on. Up to his forehead, And I did something in my mind, and all at once he started backing away from me. And he said, it doesn't hurt anymore. Well, he didn't know it, but it scared me more than it did him. So I said, you know, this stuff works. So the reputation spread rather quickly because construction workers are always getting hurt. And I started working on people. And then they started taking me home with them to meet their family and work on them. And I started working on things I didn't even know how to pronounce, and people were getting well. And I really didn't understand all this, but time went on, and I would continue to do work like that. A few of the neighbors would get me to work on their kids or something. And we had very good results. Not perfect, no, but good results helping people. And I also got involved in shamanism. So I learned a little bit about how the Native American medicine people did things, became friends with a couple of them and learned from them. And then moved on up to about 93, I got involved in dowsing. So what I did, I took the best of all three philosophies and put it all together and simplified it. Now, you were talking about me being down to earth. The way I say it is watermelon is the biggest word I know. So I keep everything real simple. And I don't use any big words, complicated phrases. I just get it done. And today I was doing sessions in Europe. The day it was in Australia. I work with Skype or Zoom, either one, from various places, as long as they can speak my brand of English, and I just work with people wherever they are and wherever they want help. I do that. I still run a small farm. I've got over 350 acres, but most of it's trees, so it's really not a matter of plowing up a lot of ground. But as time went on, I kept learning more and more about what we could do. And then, now that brings me up to, I won't give all the details, but I met an older couple who lived in the back country of northern Alberta. And I probably learned more about energy from those people than I learned from anybody else. Now, whenever you read the book, Future Showers, they're in chapter 8, yeah. Bill and Winnie. I devoted a chapter in the book to them because I had learned so much from them. And Bill taught me how to measure energy. Now, what we don't have is technical scientific terms for what we're measuring. We just call it energy. So as to what scale it's on, I really don't know. But to get into what else you wanted to ask about, this was back in 98. And back then, the energy of a human being at the best you could do would be about 8,000. Well, we just have finished making another film here today to upgrade a webinar that we filmed a few years ago that we're going to make available again to people. And it needed some changes. So I just explained what I'm about to explain to you is the energy has changed over the period of, how long has it been? 24 years that I have been measuring energy. Now, yeah. Maybe somebody somewhere measures energy more than I do, but I don't know who they are because I do this every day. And the reason why is I have a lot of people wanting help. And the first thing I do is I measure their energy. Well, if it's zero, I know they have problems. If it's on my scale I'm using right now, let's just say 20,000 or so. Now, okay, yeah, you probably need a few things, but you're not in really bad shape. So I've learned to a degree of what affects the energy of a human being and what can be done to correct it. So I don't want to give figures today because they're probably constantly changing, but let's just say this, that in the last 24 years, energy has risen dramatically, higher than I ever expected it to go. Well, we're able to do more things with it now than we could do then because we simply have more energy to do them with. Back then, if I could clean up one house for a family, and I used to have to go and do this physically on site. Well, not anymore. I clean up places in Australia and Italy and Germany and basically around the world. Because when you're working with energy, distance is not a factor.
Yeah.
It really isn't.
Hey, Raymond, on that point, that there's more energy now than ever, I think that fascinates me because, you know, it can be used for positive, like you say, and it can also be used for negative, which we see both happening right now. We see you being able to, you know, harness this energy and do such great things, but we also see people that are using it for things that are not so good. But the thing I love about you too, and just in watching your videos, you, and by the way, you are an Einstein to me. You're very humble. You downplay a lot of things, but you really are tapping into so much of your mind. But you make people feel like they can do it. And that's what I love. You know, so people have all this energy, and you are such a great worker with energy, but your work is so unique in that you're not trying to say, look at me, I'm so great. You're just trying to say, look, here's me, I do this, you can do it too. And that's what I love about your work. That's what's so refreshing about you to me.
Well, every day, practically, I get emails asking me, what can I do, this or this, whatever it is. I have a standard answer. Try it and find out. That's how I learned.
Yeah.
And really my goal is to help people empower themselves. That's really the bottom line.
Yeah.
So I figured, well, if I did it, most anybody else could do it. Right. And people ask me, how do you do this? I said, well, I'm going to answer it in one word, by intent.
Yeah.
I do everything by intent. And you say, well, why does it work for you and not work for me? It's because I have spent 48 years practicing it. And we get good at what we do a lot of. And I'm fortunate to be in this business because every day I get a new batch of people to work on that need help. Maybe their problems are somewhat similar. And I handle as many of them as I can. That doesn't mean I get to everybody, but I handle as many as I can. But what I really like to do is teach the people to help themselves where they don't even need me anymore.
Yeah. How does someone get better at intent, Raymond? So you've been doing it for 48 years. I think you nailed it right on the head. A lot of people say, you know, okay, I intend this. And then they go, oh, but what if it doesn't happen? They pull back, they lose their certainty. The thing I've noticed in you, you are just so committed to like intent, like you don't back off. And how do people get that to that point?
The only word I could give you on that is practice.
Okay.
You have to believe in yourself. And the way I say it is that success builds confidence, and confidence builds more success. So every time we accomplish something that we haven't accomplished before, my question is always, okay, what do we do now? What's next? I will be very vague about this for obvious reasons, but there is a prison somewhere in the U.S. where the person that I happened to be acquainted with, not really met them, but talked to them on the phone, seemed like a very good person. They were in prison for something they really didn't do. And I really believe that. But the temperature in the prison was 46 degrees. They had no heat at all. The air conditioner was running 24 hours a day. They had nothing warm to get close. This one guy had to cut the leg, cut the arms out of a jacket and put over his feet to keep him from freezing.
Mm.
And I got a phone call on that. And that was late one night. By the next morning, I had an email saying the temperature in the prison rose 19 degrees.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Hopefully nobody is there is listening to this. So anyway, that's what we did.
Yeah.
Now, you say, how did you do that? I just thought about this, and I think this is a form of torture, and I'm opposed to that. So I'm going to do something about it. So I'm going to raise the temperature in that prison, and I didn't know by how much. I just asked to raise the temperature.
Wow.
And I didn't know I couldn't do it. That's going to be my standard answer on practically everything.
Yeah.
See, if you do something, something might, if you do nothing, nothing's going to happen. If you do something, something might happen. So people think that I really know what I'm doing. That's really not true. I just do something and it'll usually happen. Not always, but usually.
I love that, though, because so many people talk themselves out of it before they even start, right? When they have intention. Like if somebody, like this is the Global Energy Healing Summit, somebody, you know, has a certain disease and they look at the statistics and they look on the internet and they see, you know, see only a certain amount of people get over it. You don't even go there. You just know that energy is energy. Thought can change energy. And you don't worry about data, statistics, probabilities. You just, boom, you just lock in. I love that. That is so powerful.
Well, it's the only way I know how to work. And yeah. Einstein made another pretty intelligent statement. He said, energy follows thought. That works good or bad. If people are always whining and complaining and about whatever's wrong with them, they're not going to get better. I've made some statements last week saying I have never known anyone to get well by complaining about illness. I've never known anyone to become wealthy by complaining about poverty. Yeah. Why? Because energy follows thought.
Yeah, yeah. That's so cool. In your books, you have so many amazing stories. I hope people will read your books and go to your site. What is your website, Raymond? Just because I know people are probably already interested, like how do I find
RaymondGrace.us.
RaymondGrace.us. And Raymond is R-A-Y-M-O-N, no D on the end.
That's correct. And we Raymond have another Grace. One for our foundation. And the foundation is what we were using to promote water cleanup. And we've done a pretty good job of that. I have cleaned up a little bit of water, not a lot, but a little bit on six continents. And the reason I got into that, this goes back about 34 years ago. I had a little kid. April was just a little kid at the time. And I was reading a little about water, how that we had a very small percentage of it on the planet that was drinkable. And I thought, well, every day more and more is getting polluted. So if my kids and my descendants are going to have decent water, somebody's got to do something. I volunteered for the job. I had no clue how I was going to do it. At first, I learned to energize one small little cup of water in my hands. And then I found out I could energize water at a distance. And one of our best stories occurred back in 02 in Saskatchewan, Alberta. No, Saskatchewan.
Okay. Yeah, no, it was Alberta. Yeah.
Yeah, it was in right. It was in Saskatchewan.
Yeah.
There was a well there that I had been asked to visit while I was traveling up in that area. And it had a lot of arsenic in it. Well, I didn't know anything about arsenic. I'm not a chemist. But the folks asked me if I could do something to the water. It had a really, really high concentration of arsenic. So I said, well, I don't know. Let me try. And the fellow says, well, you can't energize your water and pour into the well. It's got a closed cap on it. I said, well, okay, let me go see what I can do. So I went out and basically I talked to the water mentally.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I said, let me know what happens. A few weeks later, I get a very enthusiastic phone call that the water had been tested by the Canadian Board of Health and 90% of the arsenic is gone.
Wow.
I said, okay, have it tested again one day. I'll work out on it again for you. And the next time it was tested, there was barely a trace of arsenic.
Wow. Amazing.
What did it do? I transformed arsenic into water.
Yeah. And you didn't know you couldn't do it, right? That's why you did it, right?
That's all the way I could do it.
I love it. And so, hey, to people listening, like this is not fairy tale stuff we're talking about. This is not people that are just making up stories. This is real stuff. And there's so many stories of what Raymond's done. And all of you listening and watching, you can do it too. That's what he's about. He's trying to tell you, you can do it. Don't just, you know, put him up on the exalted place. He does deserve to be there, by the way, just for the amazing work he's done for humanity. But his whole life is about showing us that we all can do it. Like he's impacted me with his belief system. So tell about the story. I love your story about the fields, the hay fields.
Oh yeah, that's one of my favorites.
Yeah,
because I was working for a farmer, and I have a saying, it goes like this. It's bad manners to cuss a farmer with your mouth full. I got a phone call one night from one of my friends that said, I've got a problem. Wonder if you could help me. And I said, well, I will if I can. What do you need? He said, well, I have a 20-acre field of alfalfa. This is a small-time dairy farmer. And he said, had some weeds growing in it. So I called the farm supply people to come out and spray for weeds. The truck driver picked up the wrong jug of chemicals and sprayed 20 acres with Roundup. Now, there was something he didn't tell me, which I'll put in just a little bit later. I thought the field had just been sprayed the day before. That wasn't true. But I said, how long will it take you to get over this? He said, well, a year. I've got to plow it all up. Well, that means he loses the hay crop for all of his cows for a whole year. Have to reseed it. Alfalfa seed is expensive. And then start all over. I said, don't plow the field up for 2 days. Give me 2 days to work on it and let me know what happened. Well, I didn't hear from him until 30 days later. He sent a picture. The alfalfa was 4 feet tall, which is really tall for alfalfa.
Yeah.
And where he had been getting 3 cuttings a year off of that field, he got 5 cuttings that year. Each wow. cut was larger than was the year before. So we literally doubled the yield of alfalfa on that 20 acres. And he asked me what I did. I said, I transformed the Roundup into fertilizer.
Yeah. And if people don't know what Roundup is, that's a highly poisonous, kills everything in sight type chemical. But with your mind, again, using your mind, your thought to change matter, you turned Roundup poison into fertilizer. That's amazing. Yeah.
Well, it was just what came to mind. So I thought, well, let's try it. If it don't help him, nothing's going to happen.
Right.
To bankrupt a small farmer.
Yeah.
And I like to help farmers. They want to keep the country going. So, I've been really proud of that. Very thankful to be able to help people like that.
So Raymond, you used your imagination for that. Like even coming up for the idea of, okay, it's Roundup, it's poison. A lot of people say there's nothing can be done. You're like, all right, let's turn it into fertilizer. I didn't tee this up at the beginning, but talk a little bit about imagination, because I think that's where a lot of people fall short. They only see things one way. You don't tend to do that. You have such a different way of looking at the world and matter and energy. How can we grow? How do you teach people to grow their imagination and the power of their thought?
Okay. Well, before we get into that, let me say this.
Yeah.
There was something I did not know until months later when this farmer was in my class and I asked him to tell the story. I thought it might be more accurate than when I told him. What he said was that the field hadn't been spread the day before he called me. It had been sprayed several days, and there was not a single living alfalfa plant in the field. Wow. Now, if he had told me that, my logical mind would have said, there's nothing I can do.
Because
if he didn't tell me, I didn't know. Okay, now, how do we expand our imagination? Well, I create pictures in my mind. The brain thinks in pictures better than it thinks in words. So the way I tell people to start out is every day, give thanks for what you want to happen that day. I have a list of affirmations that are reasonably good, I think, for folks. But you want to imagine you have to focus on what you want, not what you don't want. That's the best way I know to tell you, because if you're worrying about everything that can go wrong, you are literally feeding energy into what can go wrong. Yeah. And listen carefully on this one, all the folks out there listening. Pessimists are seldom disappointed.
they get what they expect, right?
So the first rule of success is think of what you want, not what you don't want. And then practice. If you have problems with people in your family, imagine getting along.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the first thing. If you imagine arguing with them, you're just creating another argument.
Yeah.
So basically, learn to think of what you want and to realize that you're an intelligent human being and you're not limited by what you can do.
Yeah.
And you have to break out of the mold that people have been put into of what they can't do.
I love it. Yeah. And as you said, you get a lot of practice because you're working with so many people, your imagination's just popping every day in so many situations where you don't let it go down to the negative. You focus on the positive. And like you said, you know, you don't win every time, but you win a heck of a lot and you've helped so many people.
Well, let me put it this way. The future is composed of thoughts not yet materialized.
Mm-hmm.
We produce the thoughts. So we literally create our own future, good or bad.
Yeah. And people have heard that before sometimes that, you know, thoughts are things, they're energy. But what you've shown is the power of, to you know, shown to me and so many others, just the true power of that statement. It's not just a statement. It is real. Like you are getting tangible results in the physical world by using your thoughts almost in, you know, almost like an alchemist, right? By creating with your thoughts. And everybody, by the way, what one thing I do want to say, though, everybody's getting this same result that you're getting, but a lot of it is bad things because their thoughts are going there. And they're like, why'd that happen? Well, look inside your head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think most everybody creates their future.
Yeah.
The way they think and the way they act. See, thoughts are the first step of creativity because your thoughts will determine your actions and your actions will determine your future.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want a better future, change your thoughts. When you change your thoughts, you'll change your actions.
Yeah.
People wonder how I get as much done as I do on the farm. It doesn't matter if I'm stringing barbed wire, digging post holes, picking up rocks, raising a garden, picking tomatoes. It doesn't matter. Before I start, I will create an image in my mind of me doing the work and the job completed. That's why I get so much done.
Yeah, I love it. So somebody who maybe has an illness, what you're saying is, you know, even though maybe their body's in pain, they have to really start using their mind to see them healed, right? You know, far beyond where they are right now.
Well, there's a lot of factors, far too many to go into now, but there's, I have pretty much a list of what affects people's energy. And when those things that affect the energy or lower the energy are corrected, the energy will go up.
Nice.
I mean, every time.
Yeah. Yeah. And Raymond, part of your work, you said, you know, is dowsing and you've got your pendulum in your left hand. I think you're holding right now. I think I saw it pop up a few. Are you right hand? There
right
you go.
Hand.
Yep. Yep. But I love in one of your talks, cause that is a great tool and there's courses that you teach on that. But one of the things you said in one of your videos was that, you know, at the end of the day, you don't, I'm not paraphrasing, but you don't need a pendulum. You just need a tent, right?
Right.
Yeah.
The power is up here. People want to give their power to an object.
Mm-hmm.
The object really, in my opinion, has no power. This is simply a bullet on a chain. That's all it is. But what it does, it's a tool. Like a hammer is a tool for driving a nail. A wrench is a tool for turning a nut on a bolt. Okay, this is a tool to tell me how long to focus on something. Because if I'm focusing on something, it will spin either clockwise or counterclockwise, depending upon what the goal is. And the longer it spins indicates the more energy that is required to correct a problem. Sometimes it'll go around three or four times like that. I'm just faking this one. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes it will spin and spin and spin for a long time. So it's just really a tool. So anybody listening out there, don't give your power to a pendulum because it really has none. The power is up here in the mind.
Yeah, I like to made me laugh. A lot of things you say make me laugh, right? You know, just you're a good, fun guy. But you were talking about in the beginning, your pendulum, but it's been a long time. And then you said, you know, I had to communicate with it. I said, hey, I live here on planet Earth. I don't have all day. You got to work a little quicker. So you even used
that's exactly what I did.
I did that because I started doing the pendulum. Hey, it's been a long time. I used Raymond's thing. Hey, you got to work a little quicker.
Well, not only that, when I was first learning, it didn't come easy. I spent 3 years trying to get a pendulum to move a quarter of an inch. I was just too stubborn to quit.
Yeah.
And I was working with an old fellow at the time. He was, I think, president of the American Society of Dowsers. His name was Walt Woods. Had a great deal of respect for him and was friends with him. And his pendulum was going like this, whereas mine was going like that. And I said, hey, you, I want you to work like Walt's. It has ever since. So I've had people in class that couldn't get their pendulum to work. And I said, well, tell it to work like mine. It does.
Yeah. And Raymond's spinning it, but what actually happens when you douse is it'll move on its own through the energies, picking up the energies and intelligence and things like that. So that's what he's talking about. But I love that. Like, hey, work like his, or, you know, you need to work a little quicker. So that's all intent. I love that. Hey, one thing that I think that could be really, really valuable is you talk about time travel, particularly with like trauma and things like that, that people might have had in their lives.
Yeah, I do. I've done a fair amount of this. I'm going to be real brief on it. Mm-hmm. I found a way that I could go back in time to prevent things from happening. Now, you're wondering what kind of things. Well, all I've worked on is just small personal things. I don't think I could go back and stop World War II doing anything like that. What I work with mostly is trauma and abuse. Well, abuse and trauma kind of goes hand in hand. And I found that I could go back in time and stop the event from happening energetically. And the person, not in all cases, but in most, will feel it instantly.
Yeah.
So I have a lot of, I just get a lot of abuse cases like that to work on, or people that need help. And maybe all I'm doing is changing their perception of it. But I have a method to go back. And actually, if you watch that film I made for the West Coast Dowsers, I give a very real example in that film. We don't need to do it now, but I gave a very real example in that film. And I think that film is on our YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Actually, quite a few of them are. And it was, I think the title of it was just the talk I made for the West Coast Dowsers. Feel free to watch it. Anybody out there listening, feel free to watch any of my stuff. We've got to have a YouTube channel that David takes care of. I don't really know what all is on there, but many of our films are on that channel, and they're free, so feel free to watch them.
Well, you kind of inspired me with that one too, just to go back to my father passed away when I was very young. And even though I don't, you know, feel the trauma every day, because I was there when the Army officers came to tell my mom that my dad was killed in Vietnam, you know, there's probably still some element. And I just went back, I changed that experience I had of seeing my mom, like, you know, horrified, and the Army officers, and just went back before it happened, just by listening to your video, or maybe I read about it in the book too, because you talked about like going back before a car accident happened, or one lady who had the scars that went away when she went back before her trauma. And I just went back and changed that, and then changed, you know, different things where I think about it through time. I would take myself forward. And again, I'm not saying my dad's not going to show up, but I did feel different. I felt different. It was a shift in me, and it was really powerful. So thank you for that. That was really
You're quite welcome. And I'm glad that you were able to use that, because a lot of times I just use the term neutralize, which means take energy away from it.
Yeah.
Neutralize the sadness of an event upon someone, and they can feel it mostly immediately.
Yeah. No, absolutely. So
and that story you referred to there, that person, a girl being set on a hot stove with 15 scars on her, those scars disappeared. Now that one really got my attention.
Yeah. So what Raymond did, he took the girl prior to, or he neutralized the energy in some way. And literally she had scars that how quickly did they disappear? Was it instantly?
It took about a month.
About a month, because the energy from that trauma where she was being abused was neutralized. The scars weren't there anymore. I mean, this is incredible stuff. I know everyone's like, is this real?
Well, I wondered the same thing. I didn't know that was going to happen. I get a lot of surprises in this work.
Yeah. So why are you so committed to helping people? What is it inside of you that, you know, you're 77 years old. I know you're still growing really strong. You say you wake up at early in the day. You're always working either on your land or helping people. But a lot of people who are 77 are retired and just doing what they want to do. You're so driven still to help humanity. What is it about you that keeps that drive going so strong?
Well, the real truth is I'm doing what I want to do also.
Yeah.
Because I believe that we have more to do than pass through time and take up space. And I set a goal a long time ago, not only to help clean up the water on the planet, but to also stop as much abuse as possible, but just be kind to people. And why do I want to do it? I guess I just don't like to see people suffer. And but then again, I'll give you a simpler definition. When people ask me why I do anything, I have three answers. So I give all three answers. It needed to be done. I could, and I wanted to. That's it in a nutshell. We have a choice. We do something or we do nothing.
You've done more than something. You've done an amazing amount of good work, and so many people love you because of it. One thing I saw also in a recent video was you had your problem package. I think that could be helpful for people. Could you share that with them?
I will be glad to, and I'm going to keep it brief. But if you go to Raymond Grace YouTube channel and look up something called Ozark Research Institute, I made this talk for their convention last year. So rather than go through a long list of things, which I had been doing, I think I really need to make this simpler so people can do it. So I'm going to actually do it for them. So I've made a film on things that affect most people around the world continually. And without going through all that, which would take up time, just do a Google search on a problem package or on my, or probably just on my YouTube channel.
Raymond Grace Problem.
Play it all the way to, it's only about 15 minutes long. And play it all the way to the end, because at the end, I tell the folks how I built myself a new knee that works perfectly fine. I'm walking as good now as I did 30 years ago.
And the problem package is some major problems where this film you made, this video you made, has the energy, and then they can tune into it and use intent each day to be protected from these things that could potentially show up, right?
And there's really not enough of me to go around, so I do the alternative, and that's teach people to help themselves. So rather than try to, I don't have time to talk to everybody on the phone or email them, so I just make a film that shows the folks how to do it, and then it's available for free to whoever wants it.
You've been so generous with that. So what are you, you've trained your mind in so many powerful ways, even to, you've trained your mind to be notified if family members are in danger so that you can help change the energy. What are some good habits? Again, you know, not everything applies to everybody, but I think you, you know enough of humanity. What are some good programs that all of us should be potentially programming in our minds? What are some choices that you could give us to do that?
I'm going from memory, but I have a list that I pass out in class of affirmations. There's 10 of them. And among them are, and they're in no certain order, is I'm always at the right place at the right time. I find that we have the ability to, and I'll use the word influence time. I won't say control, but to influence time. For example, I have driven 1,500 miles from home to Black Hawk, South Dakota, and I got there 15 minutes early. you can't MapQuest things like that. I have actually driven some about 250 miles, told the person I would be there at 5 o'clock. I went through road construction, two rainstorms, stopped to run errands at 5 o'clock and drive in the driveway. I mean, I've just done stuff like this for years.
And what's that affirmation again that you say? What is it? I'm always in the room.
What I would do there is I would just set a goal. I need to be at such and such a place at this time. But what I also do is say I am always at the right place at the right time.
Always at the right place, right time. I love that. That's awesome.
Because see, every car accident that happened out there would not have happened if one driver had been 2 seconds faster or slower.
So
timing is everything. It's what either, it either keeps you alive or kills you. And people get killed because they're in the wrong place at the wrong time. Now, I'll give you one about being aware of danger to my family and my friends. I'll introduce my friend. I've introduced him in a number of my films. Jeff Jones. He's a man that's lived 24 years on water. When I taught him to energize water, he didn't need to eat anymore. So he's quite a walking miracle, really. And I was down in Florida a few years back, and I woke up and I think, oh, I got to call Jeff. There's something wrong. I said, Jeff, where are you? He said, I'm on Interstate 77 heading into West Virginia. I said, get off the road real quick. He said, well, there's an exit right here. I said, take it. I said, I don't know what it is, but there's something really bad right in front of you. He called me back that afternoon. There was a landslide that would have blocked the road, or did block the road, for the next 24 hours. He just got off just in time.
Wow.
How did I know? I didn't really know. I just had this feeling that there's something wrong. I need to notify him. And when he told me where he was, I just said, okay, get off the highway. There's something wrong.
Wow.
I did not know it was going to be a landslide. Had no idea what it was. I just knew it wasn't good.
Yeah, amazing. What about for healing? What's a good affirmation for healing, Raymond? Because so many people on the Global Energy Healing Summit are probably suffering from chronic disease. Their mind doesn't have the right thoughts in it right now.
Well, the answer is probably going to be different than what you expect.
Okay.
When you wake up every morning, even before you get out of bed, and the reason why I'm saying this is that you're in the alpha brain frequency, and any thought you have in the alpha brain frequency has more power than when after you get up and drink a cup of coffee and get going. So you want to do all of your concentration in a low brain frequency. That's where the power of thought lies. Okay. So what I suggest to everybody, don't ever ask for anything. Give thanks for everything. So when you wake up every morning, give thanks for a strong, healthy body. I do.
Yeah.
Give thanks for a good place to live, a good family, good friends. Don't complain about anything. By giving thanks for things, it really makes a difference. I can tell you something that happened yesterday. This is a small knife that I carry with me here. And it was made by my friend Gil Hibben, who made the Rambo knife. I was visiting Gil one day, and he said, I want to give you a knife. And I said, well, give me the smallest one you got. So this is one he gave me. Well, I reached for it yesterday, and it wasn't there. And I said, okay, what has happened to it? Yeah. So I just thought for a moment, and I remembered what it looked like. It even got his name on the blade right here. I focused on it now. Remember exactly what it looked like. I walked out of the house. I didn't go 100 yards. I picked up the knife.
It was laying in the out in the field somewhere?
Or out in the field, yes.
But you walked right to it?
Walked right to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I've done that a number of times for things.
Yeah, yeah.
You create a mental picture of it and give yourself the suggestion, I'm going to bring it to me or I'm going to find it.
Yeah.
And it works pretty good. Hasn't worked every time, but it worked most of the time.
Yeah. And I remember back in the day, people would say, you know, imagine that the perfect parking spot's there for you. And I'm like, does that really work? But I knew people that did it. So I started, you know, perfect place, perfect time, so powerful. Go ahead. Yeah. You're going to say something?
I could give a lot of stories on timing, but I won't because it just takes up more time. There's more things to cover. But this happens quite often where I am. Like recently, I just happened to be at the right spot. I was driving my tractor around the side of the hill when a truck come by and slowed down. And I wondered, why is he slowing down? When I come back, he was waiting on me at the gate. And he said, where are you going with all that wood? I said, well, I don't really need it all. Would you like to have it? I gave him 7 truckloads of wood. So he made him having to haul it off. It supplied him with a winter supply of wood. But if I'd have missed it 2 seconds, one way or the other, he wouldn't have seen me driving there. He wouldn't have known it was available.
Yeah. This has been so cool, so refreshing. I was excited about it, and it lived up to every expectation I had. Everybody, I hope you're really enjoying this talk with Raymond. And the big thing that I got from Raymond, and I hope you're getting too, is that he's just a guy that goes out and does it. Like, you know, we can all do this, but he does it. He does it with intent. He does it with certainty. And even the times where it doesn't work out, he doesn't let that, you know, cause him to not do it again. He just goes back out, practices, learns, gets even better. And thank you so much for sharing your incredible, gift, but even just your mind, your mindset, your way of doing things. It's really so cool. And I know you're helping so many people, Raymond.
Well, I'm glad to help people. That's what makes life worthwhile. My life is just different. And at the end of the day, if I have made somebody else's life better, then it's been a good day. So it's just the way I think. If anybody wants to look at my foundation site, I don't think I gave it. It's RaymondGraceFoundation.org.
Yes.
So it'll give you a little bit of an idea on what we do. We have a cleanup project for water. We have energy clearings that you can sign up for, all that. If anybody wants to take a look at it, well, feel free to do so.
Awesome. So they can participate in the cleaning up water and energy clearing.
Well, that's the plan. I didn't have time to put a lot of stories in here today, but we've actually used their methods to clean up an entire lake for entire cities.
Yeah, no, absolutely. No, we talked about the water up in Alberta, but you've done things in India and Australia and so many different places. And so check out the foundation and also check out Raymond's website, RaymondGrace.us. And then the foundation is the Raymond Grace. Is it the Raymond Grace Foundation or?
No, just RaymondGraceFoundation.org.
.org. Yeah. You are not just a national treasure, because I think you're an international treasure and just a shining light that has lifted so many people, Raymond. I know everybody that watched this interview, they might have had some doubts, like, wait a minute, you know, can you really do that? Can that be done? And that's your problem, people, the doubts. So get rid of the doubts and just start doing it like Raymond. But Raymond, thank you so much for being on. And I hope I get to continue our conversations, because you teach me so much every time we talk.
Well, you let me know when you want to talk again. I'll be glad to talk to you.
Awesome. Thank you so much. God bless you. And thank you for everything you do for humanity.
Thank you for the opportunity to share with people.